and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Having failed so far in trying to subjugate Ukraine, Russia appears to be weaponizing space. Air Force Major General Pat Ryder is Pentagon spokesman.
Russia launched a satellite into low Earth orbit that we assess as likely a counter space weapon, presumably capable of attacking other satellites in low Earth orbit.
This has been a significant concern for the Pentagon. It was last Thursday that Russia launched this satellite. There's no indication that Russia plans on attacking other satellites, and it is not the first time Russia has done this. The deputy U.S. ambassador to the U.N. is calling this launch troubling.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Multiple fatalities reported in a tornado that blasted Greenfield, Iowa, a town of about 2,000 southwest of Des Moines. Israel has ordered the immediate recall of its ambassadors from Norway and Ireland. Norway said it would recognize a Palestinian state. Ireland expected to follow suit. This is ABC News. Campaigning in Nashua, New Hampshire, President Biden talked up the program that helps veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan whose health was degraded.
President Biden announced that 1 million veterans have had their claims approved to receive medical care after exposure to toxic burn pits and other hazards on military bases in Iraq and Afghanistan. The president calling his coverage through the PACT Act a major milestone.
It matters because too many service members have not only braved the battlefield, but they also, while breathing in toxic fumes and burn from burn pits and other means.
The bipartisan legislation provides regular toxic exposure screenings, expands access to disability benefits, and invests in new facilities, research, and additional health care workers at VA hospitals. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Amal Clooney, spouse of actor George Clooney, posted a letter to the Clooney Foundation for Justice website declaring she was one of the legal experts who recommended arrest warrants for Israel's Netanyahu and Hamas leaders. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills, and on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh, my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The newest prosecutor in the Wisconsin Attorney General's office is funded by a foundation fighting climate change. The Journal Sentinel reports Karen Heineman's $90,000 salary is covered by the State Energy and Environmental Impact Center at New York University Law School. It was set up to fight efforts to roll back environmental protections under the law. Bird flu has infected dairy herds in other parts of the country, but so far not Wisconsin. Experts are worried now that one person in Texas was infected. Andrew Pecos is with Johns Hopkins University.
Given that dairy farms have a large number of people who can come in contact with infected cows, there is an increased chance of the H5N1 virus also directly infecting humans.
Experts recommend sticking with pasteurized dairy products. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked as if the Brewers were about to lose again when Christian Yelich was at bat, top of the eighth, against the team that traded him to Milwaukee, the Marlins.
1-1, line drive, base hit. Ball game is tied. Contreras might have a chance to score from first. He'll be sent around. Yelich on his way to third. He is safe at third with a two-run triple, and the Brewers have the lead. What a moment for Yelich in his former home.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports. Yelich described what he saw.
I kind of got my doors blown off there with a sinker like the pitch before. That's how hitting goes sometimes. And then I was like, well, probably a good chance I'm going to see that again since I got beat by it so bad. And just really wanted to stay inside it, put a good swing on it. And fortunately, it got to the wall. William was able to score. And, you know, we kind of tacked on after that.
The Brewers went on to win 7-5. Manager Pat Murphy.
This guy's been doing it a long time. He was raised by the Marlins, and they taught him well.
The series wraps up tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any remaining showers ending, but the clouds sticking around all night long. Breezy west winds, lower 50s by daybreak. Mostly sunny skies a part of our Wednesday forecast. West wind still gusty with afternoon highs in the lower 70s. Right now it's 61.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about the Postal Service. Journal Sentinel reporter John Dietrich and Dr. Laura Hanks for public service announcement. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our guests join us live in studio. Karen Rilke is here with the Honor Flight. Good morning, Karen. You may want to pull that mic up just a little bit.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
You have been involved with Honor Flight for a very long time.
I have. I started in 2014, but our organization started in 2008. So there was plenty of history before I came along as well.
And for those who don't know, and I think I would like to think that most people by now are familiar with Honor Flights, mm-hmm. but what was the genesis of this idea?
Sure. So the Honor Flight movement started in 2006 when a physician's assistant in Ohio realized that his World War II vet patients did not have the means physically or financially to see the brand new at that time, World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. So he had a friend who was a private pilot, and they started flying a couple vets at a time, all expenses paid, to see their memorial. And that really was the genesis of the movement. And then our hub here in Southeast Wisconsin started in 2008, and the first flight of Milwaukee vets was November of 2008.
Wow. Now, it started with World War II vets.
It did.
Most of them are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Korean War and Vietnam veterans.
That's correct. It's really an opportunity for our oldest vets to get the day of honor and gratitude that they really didn't get. You know, we've all seen the ticker tape parade footage from World War II, even though that wasn't the reality for most World War II vets. And then the Korean vets tell me that they really came home to silence. People weren't very interested, didn't know why we were there, didn't understand why they had been there. And then I think many of us know what the reception that our Vietnam vets received.
They were treated so terribly.
They were, yeah. And really have carried that hurt for so long. And this is really a day of closure, of joy, of a chance for the community to show gratitude and really their moment of redemption. So we're thrilled to take thousands of our Vietnam vets to Washington, D.C. as well.
I was speaking to you, Karen, before we got on air, and I have a small connection to Honor Flight. I used to work at a barbershop called Jose's Barber Extraordinaire, and Jose was himself a Korean War vet, and he took an Honor Flight. And when I mentioned it to you, you were like, Jose? And for his sons, that will mean so much because he was such a unique figure, but more so the fact that he came back beaming, mm-hmm. just to feel that pride, to feel that recognition, to feel that connection to, you know, something was so long ago that it's when I hear Honor Flight, I just think of throngs of people being excited for these individuals who gave so much to us. And it means so much that you're still doing it. And you even said, like, You've worked with 10,000 vets, but you remember Jose, and that means the world to me as someone who cared very much about him.
He was wonderful, and really, it's a joy for us to give these vets not only a chance to spend the day with other vets,
yeah,
but the chance to have some pride in their service. I hear from the sons and daughters that sometimes accompany their vet on a flight that my dad never wore a Vietnam vet hat. He didn't have anything that said he was a vet. He didn't identify really as a veteran, even though he was one, because he had really locked that part of his life away.
Yeah.
And it's such an overwhelming joy for us to have these vets finally proud again and willing to tell people that they served and have others thank them for what they did so long ago.
I feel like that's something that, I mean, I can't speak from experience, but, you know, there's a lot of men out there who fought in World War II, they came home to the ticker tape parades, but then it was time for real life to take on. And we weren't asking questions. They weren't telling stories. And this part of history has been, some parts have been lost because they're just like, I don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. I got things to do. I got bills to pay, a family to feed. And to see these, I feel like as they got older and now in today's day and age, we're far more receptive to these stories and we want to hear from what they experienced, especially just to let it out as maybe a little bit of therapy as well. Oh,
absolutely. And one of the reasons that we require our guardians who accompany the vets to be a minimum of 15 years younger than the vet they accompany is so those stories will live on. So these people hear the stories of sometimes their dad or their grandpa or their grandmother. We have a lot of ladies that fly with us that served as well to very little fanfare.
Yeah.
And we want those stories to live on. That's incredibly important to us.
And I think, too, that we forget so many of these people are so modest and don't feel like they're heroes and don't necessarily feel like they deserve to be celebrated, but they should be.
Yes. I had a very powerful moment probably 8 years ago or so. I was with two Korean War vets and we went to an interview. And one of the Korean War vets was a Silver Star recipient. Had been nominated for the Medal of Honor, but not enough other soldiers survived the battle to corroborate his story.
Oh, my.
And then the other veteran had served stateside here in the United States in supply. And after the interview, as we were walking out, the veteran who had served in supply said to the combat veteran, I'm just honored to be in the same room with you. And I will never forget this. The combat vet pointed right in his face and said, don't ever say that again. If you hadn't done your job, I wouldn't be here to tell my story. Your service is just as important as mine is, and you deserve that honor flight just as much as I did. And the veteran in supply started to cry. It was just absolutely incredible. And a beautiful explanation of why we don't care where the veteran served. If you served before June of 1975, active duty, no matter where you were sent, your role was important. And it's worthy of being thanked for.
Karen Rilke is our guest, and we are talking about honor flights. You just had one honor flight. You have another one coming up in June. Karen, if someone is listening and they are related to a vet who has never taken part,
yes,
what is the process to go about starting?
Well, the first thing to know is the flight is completely free for the veterans. And as of this moment, because of a very generous anonymous donor, the Guardian donation is waived as well. We don't know how long that will last. But veterans can bring a son, daughter, grandchild, grandson with them at no cost right now.
That's wonderful.
It is. So, again, if they served active duty in June of 1975 or before, and that's active duty beyond boot camp, they are eligible. And they can go to our website, which is starsandstripeshonorflight.org. And there is an online application there for both veteran and guardian. Right now, it's about a year wait, maybe not quite. So the time to get on the list is now.
Yeah, do it now. Yeah. We will include that link in our show notes.
Absolutely.
If you have questions after the show is over, get us about an hour. Greg puts together a really great compilation of every day's show. So go to civicmedia.us and then just click on shows. Go to Matt Nair on Air and everything will be right there with all of the links that you need. What about people who, Karen, are not related to a veteran and they would like to do something? They would like to get involved. What could they do?
So, you know, certainly donations are great. But there's other ways as well. Our flight days, if you've been a part of our homecoming in the evening at Mitchell Airport, it's unforgettable. Mm. And our friends at Mitchell Airport are really amazing hosts and allow us to throw the best party ever 6 times a year. So we'd love to have more members of the community come out to welcome the vets home. It's a great party. Kids are welcome. There's a sign-making station. So kids can make signs that say, welcome back, veterans. It's really a great evening. So our next flight is Saturday, June 15th. So you'll want to show up around 7 p.m. at Mitchell Airport. It's a great way to participate. We're pretty full for volunteers at the moment. We have about 250 active volunteers. Wow. That are just spectacular folks. And we don't want to take a bunch more if we can't give them something to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
So certainly really the best way to participate right now is to talk about the program, encourage any vets you see, whether it's at the grocery store for a stranger or somebody in your circle who might be reluctant. Let them know it's a safe day. It's a joyful day. And we'd really love to thank them.
I was lucky enough to go on one a number of years ago when I was working for a different station just to do a story on it. And it is a very long day. Mm-hmm. I give those veterans a lot of credit because they're up early and it lands kind of late after a very busy day. Yeah. But coming back to Mitchell, and I had heard about it, you don't appreciate it until you see it, until you walk through lines and lines of smiling, cheering people, and then you get to look at the faces on the veterans as they're coming back. Mm-hmm. It will change you and just make you feel so grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really spectacular. And it's the moment of homecoming that these vets never got. And really when we can replace or maybe amend a bad memory from the past with something positive, it's the best thing ever for us. And we've had vets tell us that for 50 or 60 years, they had nightmares every night about their service. Oh. And after taking the honor flight, they were gone. And that's the best gift we could possibly get.
That kind of closure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
And finally being acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know, for so long, they just didn't want to share the memories because they were so painful. So to get those out and get the relief is just so important.
That's wonderful. It is. That's just wonderful. Yeah. You have Greg and I all weepy and stuff.
Welcome to our world. We're weepy all the time.
Oh, God.
We're just on the cliff of.
For the landing, when they come back, mm-hmm. do you need to register on the website to be there, or can you just show up and say, I'm here to be a part of it?
You can just absolutely show up.
Okay, great.
The only thing we ask is that folks who don't know someone on the flight, yeah. allow the veterans' families to have the front rows.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So they can hug their vet and celebrate the welcome home. But no, you do not have to register. You can just show up at 7 p.m. on a flight night and join in the celebration.
That's fantastic.
It really is. And they also do it in Washington, too. When the honor flights land in Washington, it's not necessarily as large of a turnout, but there's still all kinds of people who are there to welcome them when they land. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Actually, since you've flown, Jane, we switched airports and we now use Dulles.
Oh.
And Dulles has a volunteer corps that is just spectacular. And when we landed on this past Saturday, they had about 250 people there.
Wow.
And it's all kids. It's, you know, little league teams in uniform. It's, you know, a junior high clarinet band. It's just so spectacular. And the vets just cry their way through.
If you have questions, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're talking about the Honor Flight. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. And if you have a credit card, I have some great news for you. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, called the CFPB, one of my favorite government agencies, has capped credit card late fees at $8 a month. And most of us are paying an average of $40 every time we were late. And now, credit card companies can't charge us more than $8. This is going to save the average credit card customer, you know, folks like me and you, about $220 a year. The Bureau's director, this guy Rohit Chopra, said that this ends the era of big credit card companies hiding behind the excuse of inflation when they hike fees on borrowers to boost their own bottom lines. Yeah, I think credit card companies are making more than enough money. Thank you very much. I love a win for the little guy. For more money info, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They came from towns across this land. One last tour, one last stand. Most could walk. Some good night.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Our special guest is Karen Relke with Honor Flight, and we are talking about how they started, why it's important, how you can get involved. If you have a question or a comment, you can always leave it on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, or call us, text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tom is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Did you have a question for Karen?
Good morning. First off, thank God for you guys, Jane and Greg. Really appreciate you. Karen, I am so, this is such a great thing, and it's such an awesome thing that you guys do. I'm going to ask you more of a philosophical question if I can. The only place where I see that war or that evil is shown is through war. And I'm just wondering, you know, because I'm a peaceneck. I'm a person that doesn't believe in war. I'm a person that believes it doesn't solve anything. But I'm just wondering, when you talk to these veterans, do they actually, like, believe, like, there's, like, good and evil, and that's why we have war? I don't know if that's too big of a question to ask or not, but I'm just trying to get a perspective from that.
I think that's a big ask for Karen. I mean, she's dealt with 10,000 veterans, Tom, over the years.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer as best I can. Really, what we're talking to these vets about is what happened to them on a personal level 50 years ago. So most of these vets were kids. They
were 19 years old.
They were many were drafted, and many did not realize what they were getting into, both as they were sent there, wherever that may have been, and what they were going to experience when they came home. And you know, I think they had seen the their dads and their uncles fighting in World War II, and you know, most would agree, genuinely saving the world at that point. And, you know, the ones who enlisted felt like this was their chance to make a difference and didn't really understand what was going to happen, what they were getting into. And then those that were drafted felt like they had no choice. So, you know, we don't get too philosophical on an honor flight day. What we're most concerned about is trying to heal those old wounds and really acknowledge what these folks went through and the lives that they've built since then.
These aren't the policymakers. They're not, no. They weren't the decision makers. They were doing what they were told to serve their country.
And Tom just texted us as well. He said they are definitely heroes.
So. Yeah. And in many cases, you know, they have a different take on heroism.
Yeah.
You know, and a hero can be somebody who, you know, lost their best friend in something, in a place that they didn't want to be, and came home and had people calling them names for even being there when they had no choice, but they still managed to build a life as best they could and get beyond that. So that's heroic as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. You need to go. You need to go. You need to get involved. Volunteer, even though you have plenty right now, you're always, volunteers are always welcome. get involved, learn more. And as you said, Karen, it's about the individual and helping this individual heal.
It is from wounds
from a really long time ago.
Yeah, it is. And actually, you know, some of these vets came home and maybe weren't the best dads or moms. And you know, as they struggle to build their life back. And in some cases, when they fly with a son or a daughter and experience this day together, those bonds are strengthened. And so even if it's not necessarily about their service, sometimes it's about renewing relationships. Sometimes it's about a vet who's 75 and a widower who's lonely and gets to spend a day in the company of other people having a wonderful day. It means different things to different people, but really it's a celebration of some of our oldest vets and what they've brought to their communities and their families.
And I would think, too, the ability to talk to other veterans, because most of us who are not in the military, we have no idea of what they had to deal with and what they were dealing with. And so some of those stories must be so intensely personal. You need someone else who has lived through that.
Yes.
In order to share it.
And many of our Vietnam vets, we've been told, didn't feel welcomed at places like the VFW or the American Legion. So they didn't join those kind of vets groups.
Oh.
So again, not an opportunity to share with other vets until they're surrounded on flight day. And we tend to, where we sit vets next to each other on the plane with their guardians behind them so that they can share. Yep.
Well, that's something too, is like, you know, growing up, I grew up here in Waukesha, and the VFW on Summit is now gone. And I have to imagine, because of that sort of treatment of the Vietnam vets, they didn't join, so they didn't go to the Vietnam. And now the ones who kept those posts up and running are gone now, and no one's there to take up the mantle and move forward with it. It's really sad, because it was a place where, I mean, even, you know, some places, I don't know, I'm a man, and I feel lucky that I live in a country where I'm not going to be drafted into a military. Mm-hmm. And you can't understand that kind of luck and privilege until you talk to somebody whose number came up on television and they were going. You had no choice because you didn't have the ability to get out. You're going to war. And I think that's another aspect of, like, you know, understanding just that journey and knowing that I don't have to do that anymore. Then that I'm lucky. I didn't want to be in the military. Mm-hmm. My dad was, he didn't want that for me. So we're losing these experiences and we're losing these opportunities to connect. And the VFW thing really hits with me, because I wish there were, like, I see them closing around the area, mm-hmm. and that's really sad.
Well, support is always important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Support is always important. And you can help support the Honor Flight. As Karen mentioned, you can make a donation. You can try and volunteer. You can certainly be there for the welcoming committee at Mitchell International Airport. We will have all the links in our show notes. It takes about an hour after the show to get those posted. So check it out. Everything will be there. Karen Rilke with the Honor Flight, thank you so very, very much. Memorial Day is this weekend. It's on Monday. That is remembering those who have been lost. The Honor Flights are to honor those that we still have. Buy a poppy too.
Correct.
Buy a poppy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, Karen. We will have you back. Stay with us. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
One more honor to receive. From their country. They talked of war and battles they'd been in. From Normandy to Berlin to the fields of Tianjin. Bodies worn from age, but eyes still so clear. Brave tears still flow, remembering those years. Standing at the monuments, saluting straight once more. Bronze and granite memories of those who went before. And when the time had come, fly on home again. Finally, difference. Fly for honor one last time. A few more hours they stood in line. One more honor
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Having failed so far in trying to subjugate Ukraine, Russia appears to be weaponizing space. Air Force Major General Pat Ryder is Pentagon spokesman.
Russia launched a satellite into low Earth orbit that we assess as likely a counter space weapon, presumably capable of attacking other satellites in low Earth orbit.
This has been a significant concern for the Pentagon. It was last Thursday that Russia launched this satellite. There's no indication that Russia plans on attacking other satellites, and it is not the first time Russia has done this. The deputy U.S. ambassador to the U.N. is calling this launch troubling.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Multiple fatalities reported in a tornado that blasted Greenfield, Iowa, a town of about 2,000 southwest of Des Moines. Israel has ordered the immediate recall of its ambassadors from Norway and Ireland. Norway said it would recognize a Palestinian state. Ireland expected to follow suit. This is
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Immigration is a political issue as far north as Wisconsin. The dairy industry employs more than 6,000 immigrants. Dave Daniels owns a large farm in Kenosha County. He says it's working well.
They're very important to us, and we want to make sure that we have a good way of helping them out, and not only in their job, but also in the community and society as it is, too.
Daniels speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial start of camping season. Campsites at Wisconsin state parks are filling up fast. Spots are reserved as much as 11 months in advance. The Department of Natural Resources says some of the best sites, the most popular parks, are already booked all summer. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If I have one opinion on Hollywood, is that it needs more Jesse Plemons. The actor will star opposite Emma Stone in Yorgos Lanthimos' new film, Begonia, a sci-fi comedy script which has been purchased by Focus Features and Universal. Lanthimos' last film, Poor Things, was nominated for Best Picture and won Stone a Best Actress Oscar. Plemons can be seen in this summer's Civil War. A release for the film is down the road. Cameras will start rolling this July. What's the best way to sell tequila? Take off your pants and play croquet. At least if your last name is McConaughey. Matthew and Camilla McConaughey have created a series of ads where they perform various pantless activities, hoping it will help sell their organic self-made tequila, pantalones. Pantalones in Spanish means pants, or the less sexy trousers. McConaughey says the point of the ads is to not take life too seriously. For what it's worth, if you ever get caught without pants, tequila is not a bad excuse. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any remaining showers ending, but the clouds sticking around all night long. Breezy west winds, lower 50s by daybreak. Mostly sunny skies are part of our Wednesday forecast. West winds still gusty, with afternoon highs in the lower 70s. It's 60 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time live from Kopke's greenhouse outside of Oregon, Wisconsin, talking planting and also the bug guy, cicadas, all that and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Want to thank again our guest in the last half hour, Karen Rilke from Honor Flight. Such a wonderful woman, such a wonderful organization. They do such good things. And, you and I both almost completely fell apart.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I could feel it. I could feel the teardrops coming.
It's just so emotional. And it's, if you want to take part in it, I highly, highly encourage you to go to Mitchell Airport and be on the welcoming committee for when they come back. It's really a spectacular thing. So we saw this in the news yesterday, and then we started having an off-air discussion about it that we've decided to bring to you. Just a reminder, also, Corey Hartman, Civic Media's engineer and meteorologist, joining us at 11:50 to talk about the weather that is coming our way. Could see 70-mile-an-hour straight line winds later on today. There's a potential for tornadoes. This is not a joke.
No.
So please stick around for that, and Corey can give us some kind of an idea of what is going to be coming.
And stay safe. Stay inside. Don't go tempting things.
Well, and I was just talking to one of the folks in the building here, and I understand if you want to, people turn everything off at night.
Yeah.
I always leave my phone on.
Yeah.
But in situations like this, especially when we have severe weather coming in late at night, it's kind of important you have at least one thing on.
Yes.
Because if the siren goes off and you're not in a place where you're going to hear it, right?
I don't understand why you would turn your phone off at night. Like, I understand silent, quiet, vibrate. But turning everything off, that just, you feel disconnected. I feel cut off then at that point.
Or get a weather radio.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea anyway. But Corey Hartman coming up to talk about the weather coming up at 11:50. So anyway, we found this article that New Glarus held the second annual World Euchre Championship last weekend. This was a big event.
And we're not talking about Bob Euchre.
No, Euchre the card game.
Yeah.
There were 62 players last year. This year, they had hundreds. They had 170 people signed up. Doubles, they had 260 people with 50 on the waiting list. And so we started talking about card games.
Yeah.
In general.
Uh-huh.
And you said you can't play Euchre.
No, I don't know how to. I feel like so when I think of Wisconsin card games, I think of Hearts. No, okay, there's actually a bunch. Rummy, Jim and Rummy. Don't know the difference. Don't try to tell me now. I'll never remember. Hearts and Spades. Don't know how to play them. No one's ever taught me.
Okay.
Euchre and Sheep's Head sound like, I've always felt like you need an advanced mechanical engineering degree to play. And Calvin's shaking his head right now. Calvin, you're behind the board right now. I'm talking to a microphone. I think I'm winning this argument. The one that I have any sort of adeptitude.
Ability.
Thank you. Is cribbage.
Okay.
Cribbage, I find fun, but I also find incredibly stressful because you got to find them points.
It's about math.
And if you're playing with someone who's a little cutthroat, they're going to take those points that you don't find and you're going to lose double skunk. And I don't like it. And I feel bad for when I'm my wife's teammate in cribbage because I'm like, I'm going to miss points and she's going to look at me and I'm like,
but the only
justified.
But the only way to get better is to keep playing.
Yes, that's why I have an app on my phone where I practice.
Oh.
Yeah, I practice my cribbage game on my phone. And then what I do is I practice counting. And then they'll say like, hey, do you want to count your points? I'm like, yes. And then I'm like, I missed another 15.
So, Calvin, you chimed in when we were kicking this around yesterday before we got on the air. And you were like, I could teach you how to play Euchre. No problem.
It's really not that complicated of a game. So Euchre, my mom and her brothers and her parents are a big Euchre. It's kind of in the family.
Okay.
But I never learned how to play as a kid. Oh. I didn't learn until my roommates taught me in college.
Seriously? So no one in your family taught you?
Nope. It was always kind of like grandpa and grandma are playing cards with mom and Uncle Todd.
No, let the old people play.
And then
mom and dad speak German. They never taught me.
And then we were sitting around trying to come up with a card game to play. And they're like, well, have you guys ever played Euchre? And I'm like, wait, Euchre? That's the game my grandparents play. But then I learned how to play. And it's not hard. It's a trick-taking card game. So it's in the same vein as Sheep's Head and Spades and Bridge. From what I hear, it seems like anyone only ever knows how to play one of them.
Yeah. Not all of them.
Yes.
I know how to play Euchre and that's it. My dad, not obviously, doesn't play Euchre with my mom's side of the family because he only knows how to play Sheep's Head.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's like when the Catholics married the Lutherans. Like, you come from a Sheep's Head family? We're a Euchre family!
The card games shall never cross.
That's so true. Folks, is there anybody out here, and you can't just say, oh, I can play both. You can sit down to a tournament. Can you play both Sheep's Head and Euchre or Cribbage and Hearts or Spades? Like, do you have a vast knowledge of card games or is Calvin correct? You're like, I could whip anyone's butt in Sheep's Head, but don't ask me to play Euchre. I don't know.
Are you an ambidextrous card game player? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have Sue on the live stream. I played cribbage with my 96-year-old mom all the time. She won way too often, and you better believe she made me pay her the quarter.
Oh, of course. Of course. You pay the piper, friend.
Hey, we're talking big money stakes here. I want my quarter.
Matt from Germantown texts in, let's play cribbage. If you lose, you change my oil. If you win, you teach me how to change my oil. That's not how that works.
That's a win-win for Matt.
That's a win-win for Matt. He gets what he wants no matter what. And if I beat him at cribbage, all I get are some lousy points. This isn't fair.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Are you a cribbage household, a Euchre household, a Sheep's Head household? Where do you come down on the card game? Nick from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Oh, hello.
Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, yes. Here's the thing, you know, I played Euchre before, but, you know, I'm a transplant from Illinois, and so the thing
Forgiven.
Is, people in Wisconsin love their Euchre, and yes, I'm a Bear fan, and I'm not going to apologize for that, but people in Wisconsin love their Euchre, but they refuse to teach it to people because they say it's too complex. So all the times I've learned, I've since forgotten because I didn't play in a long time. And then people won't teach me anymore. So I'm just kind of done with it. I don't know.
All right. I understand that. And that's not just an Illinois thing. I've had the same thing with Sheep's Head and Euchre where they're like, it's just, you know, if you didn't learn when you were younger,
you're never going to get it.
Yeah. It's like learning a language, which I disagree with. It's a card game. Just slow down. But also, my dude, Google is free. YouTube's free. You can learn how to play.
But I think Nick brings up there's like a Euchre wall.
Yeah, tear
right?
it down.
You have to tear down
this Euchre wall. Right, I don't know why
right,
I'm doing
Nick,
Kennedy.
They're boxing you out of Euchre play by just saying it's too complicated for you. I'm not even going to bother teaching you. That's not fair.
And you become the best Euchre player ever, and you tear down their walls with whatever words they use in Euchre.
Go get them, Nick. You can learn it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Let us know if you watch on YouTube and you actually figure it out, and then we can have you come in and play Calvin if you like.
That'd be fun. Oh my God, Euchre tournament?
There's only 24 cards in a Euchre deck. How complicated can it be?
Okay, all right.
You're saying that to me?
All right. No need to get mouthy, sir.
You could play, I think you guys would understand it in three or four hands of playing where you just show everyone your cards and talk,
do it that way
and like talk through the moves.
Challenge accepted.
Because it's about there's a correct play 80% of the time.
Okay.
So I guess that's probably where the crabbiness for new players comes in, is if they're playing with an experienced player and
you guys know all the
don't
tricks.
Take the right play.
Yeah.
You know all the tricks.
They're bad teachers.
Tony Zimmerman said on the live stream, he said, I can only play euchre, learned it at a church youth group. But he also added, that was in Ohio. Sheep's Head basically doesn't exist in Ohio. I think that's just a Wisconsin thing.
Actually, they play Sheep's Head in Minnesota.
Okay, that's not Ohio, though.
No, that's true. But my former father-in-law, yeah, Arthur, may he rest in peace,
yeah,
tried to teach me once.
How'd that go?
Once. He started yelling at me in the first 5 minutes. Because that's like, you have tricks in Sheep's Head too, right, Calvin?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't understand what a trick was, and I didn't get it. And he lost patience with me in the first 5 minutes, and I started crying, and I walked out, and I never tried to play Sheep's Head again.
When you say trick,
so mad
do you mean like pulling a card off from someone's ear going, it was here the whole time?
No, it's a different kind of trick.
We got Matthew Serdell on the live stream, who I believe is Matt from Germantown. I never heard of Sheep's Head until I got to Wisconsin. I am from Minnesota.
Interesting.
And Linda made it very simple. Euchre family.
Take your ground.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Put up your euchre flag or your Sheep's Head flag. We want to hear from you. Kurt from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Kurt. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Yes, we play the combination of euchre, Sheep's Head, spades, and cribbage.
Oh, my.
In one game?
No, but okay. It's like if we have too many people, we'll play the variations, and then when people rotate in and out.
Gotcha. Okay.
Different games. But Sheep's Head, we will play Call Your Ace, Jack of Diamonds, Black Sevens,
okay, that...
six-handed, euchre. You know, we play to get into that. And then 500, we all learned as kids from our parents, probably by the age of five.
Oh, wow.
And the statement was always, the family that plays together stays together.
I don't know. Did you just hear Jane's story about trying to learn Sheep's Head from her father-in-law? That doesn't seem like the case.
My former father-in-law.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kurt. Really appreciate you listening. Thank you for calling.
By the way, we just found this out. Matt from Germantown is Matt from Grassroots Germantown. We've talked to him about, yeah,
Matt.
Hello, Matt. Let's see here. We got one. It said, a texter from the 608 saying, my grandma screamed at me so frighteningly for stealing tricks, I never learned anything past euchre.
Thank you.
But
that's not the right way to learn.
I know. I totally agree with you. I totally, totally agree with you. You have to. I was having this discussion with a friend of mine, and I think I told you this yesterday. I have a friend who is incredible at explaining things. The moment he has to teach you once you're sitting in the chair, it's a nightmare.
Oh, gosh. All patience is gone.
All patience is gone. If you didn't learn it in that first explanation, it's like, I'm going to start crying soon.
Is his name Arthur?
How did you know?
Sounds like my former father-in-law. Ben from West Bend is on the line. Ben, we got about 2 minutes left. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. I am an avid Sheep's Head and cribbage player. I haven't played euchre.
And would you be a good teacher, Ben, to teach someone how to play Sheep's Head, do you think?
Yes and no. I know how to play, but it's something where you have to sit down with other people who are not going to get on you about it, you know, because I played with people before. My dad's former hunt buddies, the one guy was a Mason, and he was a killer when it came to playing Sheep's Head. He would kill you if he did something, stupid, you know?
Yeah, which makes the game so much fun.
Yeah, nothing like stress and high heart rate.
And crying.
Yeah.
At least that was my experience. Thank you so much, Ben. Really appreciate the call. Thank you so much for listening. We are right up against the clock here. We are going to talk weather. We have severe weather coming our way later on today. Corey Hartman will be joining us, our civic media engineer and also a meteorologist, so stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast civic media radio network.
Just don't make it right.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board. You can always join us. Call, text 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have weather coming our way. Corey Hartman is one of our wonderful engineers here at Civic Media, also a meteorologist. So, Corey, who's going to get it worst? I just checked the radar, actually, and it looks like Stevens Point area just got some pretty heavy stuff going through.
Yeah, I mean, the Stevens Point area's got, you know, some showers, some leftover morning convection here today. But really what our eyes are trained on is what's going to be happening, what's going to be developing down into portions of Iowa and then moving this direction as the day goes on. And the Storm Prediction Center did just update their outlook for today about 10 minutes ago. So this is the very, very latest information. So pretty much the entire Civic Media coverage area across the state has the chance to see some sort of severe weather today, whether that could be some large hail, whether that's damaging winds or possibly even a tornado. And there's also a threat for some flash flooding because there's a lot of moisture with this as well. So we really have, as I've said before, all cards on the table here today. So here's exactly what's going on in the different regions. So as far as tornadoes are concerned, that is going to be the southwestern portion of the state. So we're really talking from Platteville to Richland Center, maybe up to Toma, maybe up as far north as Eau Claire. And it could stretch a little bit eastward. We could see Madison, Baraboo, and maybe even as far north as Wisconsin Rapids getting into the tornado threat later on today. The large hail is going to stay down in that area as well. But really, everywhere south of about a Wausau to Eau Claire line has a big threat for severe wind today. The straight line winds that push everything over in one direction. And the threat for that, again, is really Eau Claire to Wausau to Green Bay, kind of the Highway 29 there, and south. So really, half of the state has an enhanced threat for those damaging winds today.
Corey, what time are these storms going to be moving in, do you think? Is it going to be late this afternoon? Is this going to happen, you know, around rush hour time or later, do you think?
Right. So we had originally thought we would have a couple of rounds of severe weather today. And fortunately slash unfortunately, that didn't happen because with no storms happening during the midday today, that gives all the energy for this evening. And so now what we're looking at is that storms will start maybe over by Eau Claire at around 3 or 4 this afternoon. A big wave of storms then pulls in to the area around 7 p.m. tonight. That'll be southwestern portions of Wisconsin and then track all the way across the state until probably somewhere around 11 p.m. this evening.
Well, and that's what makes it so frightening. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, Corey, before you joined us, and I don't know why I had this in my head. You would always think that tornadoes only happen during the day. That's not even remotely true, and that's what makes them so deadly and so dangerous.
Yeah, storm chasers call 6 p.m. the tea time, the magic time, and that's when the tornadoes seem to be the most prevalent. They can happen any hour of the day or night, but it is usually after 6-7 o'clock at night that those happen. And of course, you know, we've got more daylight now, but when it happens in February, you know, those tornadoes are mostly at night. Can't see them coming.
Yeah.
And so we really have to count on those spotters and chasers out there to tell us what's going on. We will have people across the state watching things. So, and we'll be watching those too.
Is there a way for people to, I mean, I know we've seen signups for taking, you know, measurements on rainfall, but
sure.
In the matter of this with storm watching, is there a place people can go to sign up so they can be a part of that, so they can register information?
Learn more about it, maybe.
Learn more about it.
Yeah, there's spotter training classes that happen every spring. Okay. I was just going to actually look up and see if the Weather Service in Milwaukee or anywhere had spotter training, you know, going on. It's usually, I think, a little bit earlier in the spring. In fact, let me just,
but you know what?
Click on
yeah,
it
go
here.
Ahead.
But yeah, it's
what I'm thinking too, though, Corey, is I don't want people going out there without having any kind of training and just say, I'm going to go be a storm spotter. That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right,
I saw the movie Twister. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I'm qualified now.
Grab your camera and your Camaro and hit the road, and that's all you need. So it looks like the Milwaukee Weather Service office anyway. Their last training session was May 10th.
Okay.
So this does happen earlier in the spring, but every spring it happens, and anyone can sign up. And it lasts about an hour or two.
Okay.
And really tells you what you're actually looking at, so you don't call everything a wall cloud.
It's going to rain. It's not going to rain.
Does not teach you how to forecast rain. It teaches you what you're going to see in the sky when there's a threat for severe weather.
Before we let you go, and thank you so much, yeah. Corey, for helping us out with this. We love hearing from you on the matter. And just in general, you're a great guy. We were talking earlier about the fact that for the first time ever, it was a heavy, dense fog for me coming in this morning. And I saw three
sure.
people using their hazards. Not trying to get over, not trying to get out of the way, just driving with their hazards on. And my thought was, oh, they're just trying to be seen. And when we right. talked about it, we found out that is like huge no-no, illegal in some states. And we read a tweet from a chief meteorologist who's like, do not do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't do this.
Yeah, the bigger problem that we as chasers end up seeing sometimes is that people want to put all sorts of amber and white lights all over their car, and now they're LED, and so you're trying to drive behind them in a blinding rainstorm, and you can't see anything. Everybody's come up on a police car that has the rear lights, and they're LED now, and you're blinded,
yep.
right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, try doing that when the winds are blowing 50 and the rain is coming, like you're pouring it out of a boot, and you can't see anything. So we're begging people to not use flashers and things in fog and rain. I mean, yeah, if you're pulled over on the side of the road, maybe, but if you're just tooling down the road, turn them off, please. And you know, make sure your headlights are on though.
Well, and that's what we said too. If you got your hazards on, people don't know if you're stopped. They don't know if you're going to be turning. They don't know, you know, so yeah, don't do, I can understand the temptation to do that, but that's not the right move.
Yeah.
Or if you're in your Camaro with your camcorder, turn the flashers on so we know that you're crazy.
Corey Hartman, civic media engineer and meteorologist. Thank you so very much, Corey. I know you're going to have a long day and night. We appreciate you making time for us.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe. All right.
You thank you very much, as sir. Well. News is coming up next. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers for making everything run. Without you, nothing works. And thank you to everyone so very much for calling and texting, and most of all, listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Be safe and keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Civic Media.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created.
But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.